Can you please explain to our listeners briefly the history of this controversy?
The controversy really started with the placement of this nuclear facility just upwind of Denver. It was not the greatest site for construction of nuclear weapons during the Cold War because it was so close to an urban metropolitan area. And that was borne out because there were a couple of major fires that occurred during the operation of the plant. Eventually, the FBI raided it to see whether or not the violations that were alleged were occurring, and they were. And ultimately, within a year after the raid, the plant was shut down. And then it moved into cleanup mode. My clients were concerned about the extent of the cleanup. The area around the plant, the buffer zone it was called, became this Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. And my clients have been pushing to make sure that the environmental reviews of that plant are thorough. And this case is a continuation of that battle to make sure that the residual plutonium that's on the property has been either cleaned up or is non-existent sufficiently to make it a safe place for people to bike and hike and conduct some horseback riding.
The Denver Post wrote that the Peace and Justice Center said that the appeal was the last and best chance to close the refuge and that the government did not consider the environmental issues related to the residual plutonium contamination. My question to you is, who is at risk of contamination?
The lawsuit brought up a number of issues related to contamination that my clients believe the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service overlooked when they considered whether to open Rocky Flats to additional trails. And among those issues was the fact that the prior manager of the refuge believed that trails should avoid what he called the plutonium plume that's in the eastern end of the refuge in what's known as the windblown area, because it's just downwind of the central core, which is a continuing Superfund site. The current regime for the refuge ignored the policy of its predecessor to keep trails away from this plutonium plume. And that's one critical area we think that any environmental review should consider. Another important review should be done of lands that were incorporated into the refuge after any plutonium sampling was done. The plutonium sampling on the refuge ended in the mid-2005, and in 2012, an area of the refuge, the southwest corner, called the Section 16 parcel, was incorporated into the refuge. And during our preliminary injunction hearing, we had witnesses who talked about some of the potential contamination there, including a submerged white 55-gallon drum. We had an FBI agent testify that a submerged 55-gallon drum that was painted white came from Rocky Flats. We had another worker testify he would put plutonium in the drum to ship off to one of the nuclear facilities around the country that took it, like WIP. And that's another critical area for environmental reviews to look at. Is it safe to put trails on this Section 16 parcel when it's never been sampled for residual plutonium? Those are some of the environmental issues that the government should be looking at before they open this area to human beings. And my clients are pushing in every court they can to make sure that these environmental reviews are done. And frankly, people should applaud that, because if there are going to be thousands of visitors to an old nuclear facility site, we should make sure that that site is safe for people.
Why is it so crucial to continue advocating for the closure of the refuge?
There was an environmental review that was done back in 2004, but no environmental review of the trail system and these additional trails I've talked about since that time. And there have been a number of developments that are worthy of environmental review, including the fact that there was flooding, major flooding in the area in 2013, many Boulderites are familiar with. There was the inclusion of the southwest corner, the Section 16 parcel, and that's never been reviewed. There is the policy, long-running policy of not putting trails near the plutonium plume on the eastern section of the refuge. And those are all part of an environmental review that would normally be done under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. And since those reviews weren't done, my clients felt the need to challenge the decision of the refuge and appeal this, ultimately because the issues related to the refuge are environmental, and the Fish and Wildlife Service shouldn't pretend they don't exist, or at least pretend that nothing further needed to be done after 2004. So my clients are insisting on thoroughness. They're insisting on an environmental review that looks closely at where these trails should go to make it the least risky for people to be hiking and biking. And those are things the government really should have been doing 20 years ago. There's been a longstanding policy on the part of the government to ignore some of these dangers and try to hide them under the rug. And the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center and the other neighborhood groups that are pushing this are not willing to let this be hidden under the rug. It's been four decades of people power trying to open the public's eyes to the dangers of this facility, which had its place during the Cold War, but now could be a dangerous relic. And how dangerous? That's what these future studies will determine.
I have been speaking with Randall Weiner, attorney for the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better.